Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we are talking about a story that's kind of gone under the radar here, and it really, really, really shouldn't. It needs a bit more attention. It needs a spotlight shone on it. And speaking of someone who likes to shine the spotlight on things and maybe actually brings a megaphone sometimes, Martin, how are you?
How you doing, Tony? Look, I'd just like to remind everybody the Tortoise Shack is working very hard to get these podcasts out. And we have a golf outing coming up shortly as well. So we'd quite like if you'd all fund us. Go on to patreon.com/Tortoise Shack and throw a few quid into the golf outing. Why not?
It's limited to 81 people. lots of special guests. All the glitterati will be there. Anyway, for more of these nuggets, join us at our live shows. Huh? we're delighted to be rejoined on the line by environmental officer with the Irish Environmental Network, Attracta Ivrin. Attracta, it's good to talk to you again.
Hi, lads. Thanks very much for the opportunity. Didn't think you'd risk talking to me again after the last
one. Not at all. It was a great conversation, actually. It was actually funny. Your conversation came back around because of things of how things we suspected, that you suspected, were going to come to pass in the formation of this new government are coming to pass. So I suppose I'll open with the big question of this Pippa Hackett bill, as people are calling it. It's hashtag Pippa Hackett bill, I've seen on Twitter. Do you want to give us an idea of what that actually is?
Yeah, Minister Hackett is in the Department of Agriculture, and she has brought forward a bill which is known as the Heads Up Bill. So it's the very initial stages, and it's the Draft Agricultural Appeals Amendment Bill 2020, which sounds extremely exciting. And as you said, a lot of people weren't aware of it because it was announced late on the Friday of the August bank holiday weekend, just as the Oireachtas rose for the summer recess and just as people were starting their peak holiday period. So it has gone under the radar, but it really can't, because it's a really important piece of, well, it's a really problematic piece of legislation in that it proposes changes to the appeal system for forestry licenses. And it proposes some very, very significant changes to the current system. And it's going to restrict people's right to appeal. It's going to introduce or provides for the introduction of fees for making appeals in forestry, and a number of other different considerations. And it is sort of the first indication that we've seen of the minister moving to implement a really problematic report called the McKinnon Report, which was one of the things that's mentioned in the Programme for Government, and which there was a very hard commitment around implementing that. There's very woolly languages in relation to a number of other more positive elements around forestry, but there's a very hard commitment to implement this very problematic report, and that's what this bill is about. And we have real concerns because we think this is the absolutely wrong priority for the minister to be moving on as her first move, her first legislative move, particularly given, you know, the state of chassis that is in the forestry system. There's a lot of other things that she should be lending her shoulder to, and indeed that of her officials, and not wasting the Oireachtas' time on this appalling bill.
And you've only been given 28 days over the summer vacation, that they're really rushing this through. This has been rushed through with minimum consultation.
Absolutely. I think that is a really problematic thing in terms of, like, a lot of people aren't even going to wake up to the fact that this has happened until they come back off their holidays and they've got the kids back, you know, in school, which is going to be a particularly challenging time this year, you know, with the whole sort of issues around the COVID pandemic and all of the confusion arising from that. So I suppose that is 28 days is pretty short. And particularly when you think about the information that has been made available to people, because if you can actually find the consultation in the first instance, because it's not even on the consultation page of the department's website, you have to go digging and rooting for it. That's if you picked up on the announcement of it, and you'll find it under the forestry tab. But then the explanation of the bill is actually very light. to put it mildly, in terms of the implications, and particularly in spelling out some of the more problematic implications of it. And even, you know, somebody who decided they were going to roll up their sleeves, it was going to have to actually get out their knitting needles, because the Agricultural Appeals Bill and the heads that are presented, to be able to actually understand the significance of the changes, you have to be able to take the changes that were introduced into the Forestry Act and add those into the Agricultural Appeals Act, you know, 2001, and all of the changes that have happened to that. Pull all of that text together and also consider a whole raft of regulations that have been made. And then actually on top of that, add in these changes to be able to understand the significance of that. And that, even for a lot of people who aren't actually used to looking at legislation in Ireland, is the fact that, you know, this thing talks about inserting into this section, changing this, deleting that, amending this. So you don't actually see the ultimate result or the effect on the text as one piece. So you don't actually know. It's very hard to actually fully understand the significance of some of these changes, because we don't have a consolidated piece of existing legislation with the proposed, and indeed then to look at in the context of the proposed changes. So it is actually very problematic for people to do, and even experienced people to do, to actually work through the changes here and understand their significance.
So if I was to, right, this boils down to, as we've said previously, when you were on the podcast previously, we spoke around access to justice and the ability to, you know, have transparency, the right to appeal, and how they could put barriers around this. And actually, you know, also restricting the ability of environmental NGOs was one of the things that we spoke about only a few months ago. But listening to what you're saying now, some of the ways you push back on these things would be, you know, people would ask questions around a public consultation. They would submit questions. You know, how do you submit questions when everything is so woolly and so hard to get at?
That's exactly why I'm making that as sort of the first and fundamental point, because, you know, if people can't actually get access, read and understand what is being proposed and understand the significance of it to them, their rights, their interests, their concerns, they're cut off at the pass in the very first instance. And yet this bill is actually proposing to do some really, really significant things and provide for really extraordinary powers for the minister. It's proposing to allow the minister basically introduce fees to be able to make appeals on forestry applications. Now, if you think, and it talks about aligning this to the planning system, and in the planning system, to make an appeal or to make an appeal to Unbord Planála, it costs you €220. Mm. So if this new system is going to align it to the planning system, people could be looking at appeals of €220. Now, when you're talking about planning appeals and things like that, people don't necessarily have that many applications that they would be interested in. But if you're in some of the countries that are, or the counties that are facing significant decisions on afforestation, they're talking about, you know, upwards of 70 to 100 applications a year, like covering hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hectares. And that's on top of existing decisions. And that's purely for afforestation. And that's quite separate to decisions, you know, and other licenses which could be granted on felling, other licenses on roads, other licenses on aerial fertilization, all of which they may want to appeal. So the numbers start to add up, and add up very, very quickly. Whack on top of that the €220, another €50 for an oral hearing, and you're looking at 270 a pop. Now, I mean, given the quality of the decisions, it is perfectly conceivable that organisations and groups, you know, local community groups and indeed the NGOs, are indeed concerned individuals, could be looking at multiples of €220 a year, totting up into the thousands very, very quickly. And what is really problematic is that it provides rights for the minister to prescribe those fees. But even before that, it's very explicitly and absolutely definitely restricting who has the right to appeal. And it introduces this concept of a relevant person.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when it comes to the interest all of us have in our environment, be it, you know, And believe you me, I'm concerned about what's happening in Donegal, and I'm concerned about what happens in Dingle, the same as I'm concerned, you know, in of what happens, you know, in the counties where I live. I suppose the issue is this notion of a relevant person is now being restricted to people, maybe, you know, who you know, put in the application in the first instance, and you can understand why they would have an interest, you know, if they were refused, you know, a license to appeal. But it's also basically saying that you've had to make an observation in order to have a right to appeal, unless there are specific circumstances, for example, for ENGOs in certain circumstances. And I'll come back to that in a bit. But you have to also think about what the McKinnon report, which is the bedrock on which this bill has been built. It also talks about introducing fees for making observations.
Okay.
And that's similar to the planning system, because you have to pay €20 in order to make an observation. So then you have to pay for your observation in order to have to be able to make your right to appeal. And this bill is only looking at the appeal section. But there's nothing to say that the minister isn't going to trot down the road and actually introduce fees also for observations. So there's the potential for that double whammy effect in terms of cutting you out, or trying to cut you out of being able to make an appeal by imposing fees at both levels and restricting your right to appeal based on whether you have made a submission or not. And I think that's going to be very problematic, particularly in terms of EU law. But that's another day's work. So then the minister is also looking at a number of changes to the structure and the way that the Forestry Appeals Committee actually operates, which to allow for multi-streaming of appeals, so that, you know, the full committee doesn't meet. And I suppose that raises all sorts of questions around the further issues and potential impacts with the quality of decision making. But I suppose the fundamental issue is, you know, if the concern here is around delays and appeals, why aren't they actually addressing the fundamental issue at source, which is the quality of decisions?
Yeah, so fix it before you actually
fix the problems, so people don't actually need to engage in the whole appeals process. Actually, make sure that the decisions are compliant and have taken, you know, all of the relevant considerations into account, and that they're effectively unassailable. And that's the fundamental problem, I suppose, in terms of the minister's approach here around this being her key legislative priority, that this is what she's moving first. She's given herself extraordinary powers. There's questions over the extent to which the appeals body, which is ultimately revisiting decisions made by the minister on licenses, is going to be really, truly independent and impartial, given the controls that she is proposing. And she's asking for the Oireachtas to basically walk away from a lot of oversight here. That's what she's ultimately asking the Oireachtas to do, to give her powers to do stuff and for them to just allow her out.
But here's the simplest, the most, if you can boil this down to its most simplest thing for my reading of it, and, you know, you can tell me I'm wrong, and no doubt I am, but they will say to you, you know, Asher, we're getting loads of trees, you know, we're going to get loads of this is going to allow us to have replace the other trees with these trees, and these are better trees, and you don't like trees attracted, that's what your problem is.
I love trees, but it's a case of the right trees in the right place and done in a way which is compliant with the law. That's the fundamental issue. I suppose the big issue that we have is, it's what do we want to actually achieve with forestry in this country? And the minister actually should be addressing that right now, because at the moment we have a forestry programme which runs from 2014 to 2020. And the first thing I would have expected the minister to do was to take that out, dust it off and say, well, actually, what we need to be doing is looking at what are our objectives, what is it we want to achieve with forestry, revisiting that plan, deciding, you know, is forestry in this country all around, you know, trying to address, you know, and mitigate against climate impacts, you know, so all of plant trees that can absorb carbon and sequester carbon in the soil, is it around providing, you know, additional income for for rural communities? Is it around the development of and further development of an indigenous industry around forestry? Is it a bit of all of these, and how do we balance these up things? And how do we actually put in place a grant system which supports and incentivizes the type of forestry that we want? Because right now what we have is, in my view and in the views of many of my colleagues, a very dysfunctional grant system, which basically incentivizes the planting of Sitka spruce, which grows very, very quickly.
As a cash crop?
Effectively as a cash crop. You got it in one, Tony. And the whole problem with that is that there are very questionable benefits in terms of the climate contribution of that, given the fact of the way the soil is disturbed in planting and in when it's felled and replanted, etc., compared to sort of the longer term benefits and the greater biodiversity benefits associated with broadleaves and more native species. There are other issues associated with the conifers, you know, in terms of how overwhelming and overpowering they are for communities with these big towering green walls.
Monoculture as well is a huge
issue. Spraying of them, you know, the runoff into rivers, the clear fell model, and the issues of siltation, the impacts on water quality, etc. So there are big issues, there are big questions that we need to be asking around what do we want to achieve with forestry? And let's actually put a system in place that delivers on that with the grants. Let's correct the issues in our legislation. Let's resource the decision makers. Let's specify the timeframes in which appeals need to be heard and make sure that that doesn't compromise the quality of those appeals. You know, train them, give them the necessary expertise, give them the necessary infrastructure. But what does the minister do? Instead of doing all of that, her priority is to cut off the safety valve on the mechanism, which means that if bad decisions are made, we can appeal them and we can stop them before they hit the ground. And if you think about the issues that there are, if we make bad decisions which are non-compliant, it's not just a case of saying, whoops. The issue actually rests, you know, with Ireland in terms of remediating the obligations and remediating the damage. And if you think about something like the Derry Bryan wind farm, that basically didn't comply with EU law in relation to the environmental impact assessment of that project. And it led to an appalling issue of a massive bog slide. And thankfully, there was no loss of life on that. But the European Court of Justice found that Ireland hadn't complied with the law in assessing that project. That was back in 2008. 11 years later, it still hadn't addressed that. I honest to God, the Commission actually ended up bringing Ireland back to the EU Court of Justice to say that Ireland hadn't complied with that judgment and to seek fines. As I speak to you today, those fines now stand at over 9.25 million. That's of wasted money, because the ESB and Ireland haven't got their act together to do a remedial assessment and to address the issues where EU law was not complied with. So last November, the court effectively found Ireland effectively in contempt of its original judgment from 2008, but imposed a lump sum penalty of 5 million and an additional 15,000 per day of non-compliance, which now stands at 9.25 million. So we have a very bad track record, and we won't walk away from these bad decisions in forestry. So the appeal system is actually, you know, now that was a wind farm decision, but there was forestry elements to it. But just to be clear, the issue is, if we make bad decisions, it's really important that we catch them. So people who are actually going to the bother of appealing are actually doing the state some service.
But before we get to that stage, is there anything that, you know, listeners, members of the general public, people who are concerned can be doing now? Like, is, you know, where do we agitate? Where do we send our concerns? Where do we address them to? Is there a mechanism in this consultation process, or do we need, this consultation process needs to be extended? I would straight away think, because, you know, this new government is on recess for a start.
Yeah, I think that's a huge issue, that basically people don't even have the opportunity to engage with their public representatives over this period. And, you know, just to clarify things, you know, to raise their concerns, etc. The Oireachtas won't be back until probably mid-September. So this consultation will be over by 2 weeks. But basically, If people email forestrybill2020@agriculture.gov.ie, that's the email address that's been given for people to make their consultation input.
Okay.
Forestrybill2020, all one word, @agriculture.gov.ie.
Well, we'll have that. We'll add that to the blurb for the podcast, and we'll actually
we'll tweet that out and share it
because you know you need to know where you're sending these things to. There is some good news, if you don't mind, or can we? Or do you want to complete that?
Yeah, I do. If you don't mind, Tony, just
go
to
ahead.
Say, you need to have their submissions in as it stands by 5 PM next Friday, the 28th of August, and if people only put in three lines, basically saying that they really feel that the consultation on this has been inadequate, that this is a very significant issue of public interest, and they urge the minister to extend the consultation and to revisit her approach. Basically, it's a case of ditch the bill, Pippa, is really the critical thing, and that she needs to look to reform, revisit and reform forestry programme in Ireland as her priority, not this. And that there should be no imposition on appeal fees, and no restriction on rights of appeal, no restriction on standing, and that basically fix the problems, sort the issues with the legislation and the quality of decision making before she goes next night or near the appeal system.
Right, I think that's pretty clear, and I will. It will be on. We'll add this to the blurb when you see it, guys. There's a bit of a call to action on this. But as I was saying earlier, there was also some potentially good news yesterday, and it relates to the trade deal with Mercosur. Do you want to give us an idea of potentially what that good news might be?
Yeah, it's really exciting news. Greta Thunberg and a number of young climate activists met with Chancellor Angela Merkel yesterday. It was the second year anniversary of the school strikes. Mm-hmm. And it's coming up to sort of nearly the annual anniversary of the European Parliament declaring a climate emergency in November of last year. And basically, they were addressing a number of issues in relation to action on climate, but they did raise the Mercosur trade deal. And this is a trade agreement that's been proposed with the Mercosur region of countries in South America, so countries like Uruguay and Brazil and Argentina, etc. And it has raised most humongous issues in relation to the climate emissions that are going to result, and the extent to which the anticipation even of the deal, even before it's actually been finalised or been fully agreed, is actually driving unprecedented levels of deforestation of Amazon rainforest. Mm. And loads of human rights issues in relation to indigenous peoples, etc., issues around pesticides, monoculture, you name it, all sorts of issues. And basically, Angela Merkel appears to have indicated that Germany, that she will not sign the deal for Germany. However, we need to be very conscious of a very problematic move that is afoot under the German presidency of the EU, which is to split the deal into two parts. At the moment, it has a political element and a trade element. And if the push to split the deal into a trade element is successful, that means the trade component will advance under just EU competency, which means that effectively the EU institutions can complete the deal and it will not go to vote by the parliaments of the individual EU member states, where countries like Austria, for example, have come out very strongly against the deal. And that means that the trade element, which is hugely problematic from the climate emissions point of view and the biodiversity and the human rights concerns, could go ahead. So the fact that Angela Merkel has indicated she will not ratify the deal is welcome, but that will only really have real bite and effect if the deal has to go to the member states. But if it's split, they'll be able to avoid that. So I am hopeful that this indication by Angela Merkel, indicating that her recognition that the deal, as I understand it, she says, in its present form, is unacceptable. And I mean, this thing is a dinosaur. Mm. Let's be straight. It's been in negotiation for 20 years. Back when, you know, there wasn't the same appreciation of climate change. We didn't have the European Green Deal. We're now in a situation where there's a consultation around EU trade policy, which is due to conclude on the 15th of September. And yet they're trying to press in under the wire before changes can be revisited associated with the farm-to-fork strategy, the European Green Deal, the revisitation of the European trade policy, and the imposition of the corridor border adjustment tax, this old antiquated dinosaur of a horrendous deal, which is going to wreck the planet. That's the fundamental implications of Mercosur. Ireland is conducting an economic and sustainability impact assessment on it at the moment. And I suppose it begs the question as to what the agenda is on that. But basically, people, it's a case of, yes, welcome this, but don't pack up your suitcases and go home. And towards the end of this month, from the 25th, the 28th and to the 30th, there's going to be a lot of calls to action around mobilisation of Mercosur. So I think people still need to respond to that and to keep up the pressure.
Thanks very much, Attractor. It is always a pleasure to talk to you. Make our job so easy. It is a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you very much. We'll put the call out on the email there and we will definitely give a bit of push on that. And we will also warn people to be on the lookout for when this Mercosur debacle comes to the streets.
I like how you clarified an economic and sustainability review. You know, let's be very clear here. That if that doesn't sound alarm bells ringing in your heads, folks, you're not paying attention.
You've got it in one, Tony. And like, I mean, why should, you know, economics be separated out? I mean, it says an awful lot about the direction of travel. If I can highlight one last thing, it's the MacKinnon report and why appeals are going to be so important for people in the future. The most insidious element of the MacKinnon report is a very clear agenda to basically argue for afforestation of some of our most sensitive sites, including Natura 2000 sites, and to justify that as being necessary to mitigate against climate impacts. There's a very clear articulation in MacKinnon that they want to be able to argue Article 6.4 of the Habitats Directive and imperative reasons of overriding public interest. So people's right to appeal and people's right and ability to fight these deals and to defend our natural environment. Because don't be absolutely clear, the agenda around Mercosur and afforestation in Ireland are very linked. Mercosur is going to drive increased emissions. We're going to have to try and mitigate against that somehow. And the pressure will be to even further thrash our environment by compromising our most sensitive sites here. So really, you know, the agenda is we can't have our cake and eat it. We actually have to recognise that we have to fundamentally change and alter our patterns of behaviour. And forestry can be good, but let's do it in the right way and let's actually assess the impacts of this properly and not just compromise people's right to appeal and be sure that we're making the right decisions.
Attractor Ivrin of the Environmental Network, Irish Environmental Network, thank you again for your time. Martin is quite correct. We just have to get out of your way and let you go. It's brilliant. Listen, folks, we do need support. Look, there's a lot of content coming out. The Tortoise Shack is a lot more than we started off with a bloody iPad and we were shouting at it. We've launched a new podcast, Linda Hayden's Pack Woman Podcast, and it's PAC, Politics, Activism and Comedy. And we are working very closely with Dr. Vicky Conway of UCD Law and Government on her new podcast, Policed, and it's going to be exceptional. But all of this takes time, it takes effort, it takes hosting, it takes a lot of things. Please put your hands in your pocket. You know, with no ads, no sponsors, we just rely on listeners to help us out. It's patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.